have here an interesting sheet that actually was publicized in one of the newspapers in Brooklyn. And this is a little bit of an update regarding the situation that's taking place in Toledo in Spain. They pointed out that Toledo, of course, which is the site of the Gedol Rishonim that lived there, and another than the Rosh and the Balaturim, and of course Rabbeinu Yoine, as well as Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, according to many opinions, of course the great Paitan, and the Mechaber, the Sefer of the Kuzri. The Ravid Harishon was also from Toledo. There's three Ravids. The Ravid on the Rambam is Ravid number three. But there was an earlier Ravid, which basically was born in 1110, Rabbeinu Avron ben David, same Rosh Hashanah, Ravid, Rabbeinu Avron ben David. But basically, he was a Talmudist, he was a philosopher, he was a physician. And Lamaise, he died al Kiddush Hashem in Toledo because he was hanged by the king of Toledo for refusing to leave his Jewish faith. And this has been the story many, many times over. And so it's mentioned that this ancient Beis HaChaim, which was discovered, and it turns out that it's being a lot of kvarim have been excavated in order to build, I understand, a school is trying to be built there. As a result, there are many protests and demonstrations taking place. It's all the Haimish Eden that are doing it. As a matter of fact, the Jewish Federation over there made a compromise with the Spanish government to allow some sort of a pshorat, in other words, to exhume the bodies of the bones and just reinter them someplace else, which the Orthodox community all over the world very much oppose that there's no such thing as no compromises. You can't touch. This is sacred ground. And the kvarim have to remain intact. Not only that, this might set a precedent. Once this becomes known that countries are going to take the liberty of removing and destroying ancient cemeteries, because they're so many hundreds of years old, this might just be the beginning of many, many other situations, both in the same country, might continue to do more, as well as in other countries as well. So as you can take a look over here, there's a Das Torah from the Rav Yerushalayim, which is present Rav, which is Rav Tuvia Weiss, about Toledo in Spanya. If you notice, the letter is written, Kvod Harav Agoyen Rav Moshe Ben Dihan Shlita, Harav Deir Madrid, in Sfarad. Madrid has a small Jewish community, you know, it's Madrid, the big city of Madrid, but the Jewish community there is very small, but it's more than in other places. Everything is very relative. And I spent once a Shabbos there many years ago. And there is a Beis Chabad in addition to this particular kehil of this Rav. Beis Chabad is even smaller, very small. Hardly anything is being done. As a matter of fact, the Chabad rabbi over there, by the name of Goldstein, he has grown children, and he sends his children away, portion yeshivas. These are boys. And the girls are homeschooled. And I understand that this is without the real knowledge of the government, how many children they have. They're not registered for anything, or any benefits and so on and so forth, because he would not be allowed to keep them at home. And he's not going to send them to public school. So today, with the availability of computers and internet and so on and so forth, his children are, literally, they study at home. The girls study at home. And they turn out pretty well. I saw the family there. And every Shabbos, there's a lot of guests in this particular home, Friday night and Shabbos morning. The shul, of course, it's not original people from Spain. It's people from a lot of Russian Jews who have come there for business purposes, and then they settled there. And so on. It was just an interesting thing. I remember Friday night going to shul there, and sitting next to me. As I say, the people who come to shul, you give them credit for what they're doing. Very few are Shomer Shabbos. But nevertheless, those that come to shul, they still come to shul. It was just very interesting. The person sitting next to me, I think somewhere in the middle of Lechadoy, his cell phone rings. So there's a little bit of it. I wasn't used to that. But I was looking at the positive side. Look, a Yidu has a cell phone, and nevertheless, he comes to shul on Shabbos. So that's the madrega of that particular situation. They're trying, and hopefully in time they will make they come closer and learn what it means to be Jewish. This Rav Moshe Dehan, who is the Rav of this particular Kehillah, due to the situation in Spain, is very interesting. I was surprised. I didn't realize that there should be fear for a Jewish person to walk the streets, but on the street he wears a cap. That was a cap instead of a regular hat, somehow not to pronounce his Jewishness, which was an interesting thing to me. But so, as mentioned, the Jewish Federation over there really tried and allowed, they made compromises with the Spanish government regarding these kvarim, regarding these graves. However, this Moshe Ben Dehani, he went to Yerushalayim, and interesting enough, he's not a right winger by, but nevertheless, he went to the Rav Yerushalayim, which is completely big kenoyim, and to say what to do, and he told them very clearly that you have to do everything you can, no compromises, they cannot touch, and they have to return all of the etzomas, all of the bones that have been removed, and have to be put back into their places. So take a look, we'll see a couple of lines over here from this Das Torah. The Rav Yerushalayim writes that Kobalti Mechtova, I received your letter. I have great pain to hear that in Spain, Mokam Kivris Rishonim, the place where the Rishonim are buried, the medieval Rishonim, Umokam Shinehergu Chelik Choshim Achenu Bnei Yisrael Al Kiddush Hashem. Spain, of course, has this ancient history of the Inquisition, of so many Jews who died and were murdered only because of their Amunah HaChazoka, being that they were so strong, connected to their faith. It's a great pain to hear. We know the history about what they did to the people, to the live Jews. Now we find out that even those that have died are also not being allowed to rest in peace. And therefore, what they're trying to do is to abolish their graves. So he writes, "V'tzorech lasa is kol yishtadluyos." One has to do anything and everything possible, "Leminoya shum stiras kvarosam," to prevent any abolishing, any removal of any kvarim, or pinuyim chaz v'sholem, or to remove them from one place to another, "Beli shum psharis," without any compromises, no compromises. And he says, "V'zeh noygei alachol ha'yehudim b'chol oylam." This is not a Spanish issue. There's something that should touch every Jewish person, and so on and so forth. He goes on to say later on that a number of years earlier, he says, I happened to be in a different country in Europe. Also, there too, similar situation where the government wanted to destroy cemeteries. But to Anti, I myself, writes the Rav here of Yerushalayim, I myself argue with Ne'am Rosh here in terms of the high officers, the officials of the town, Shaloi Dai. And I brought up ancient history, and I threw it at them. And I said, Shaloi Dai, not enough, Jehar Gusham is a Yehudim, not enough that so many Jews were killed in the past, you still want to destroy the graves? They should not be the grandfathers, should not be around that the grand-grandchildren, great-grandchildren should be able to visit, at least those that were killed, those that were murdered. And in that country, this other country, he says, I was matzliach. He says, I was matzliach, I was successful. And the city and the town, they are noyeh kovid, in the Beis HaKvaris, ubimavakreim, and to those who come to visit, umenakim esamoko in bekovid godol, and they keep it clean as well, with great covet and great honor. So again, this is the letter that was just quite recent. This is the most recent that I'm aware of regarding. A few weeks ago, there was a demonstration in Manhattan in front of the Spanish embassy or consulate, and I believe there was an attendance of about 400 Jewish people who were there. Very, very quiet, orderly protests with signs and so on and so forth regarding the strong opposition and the outcry of the Jewish community to preserve the cemetery, the ancient cemetery in Toledo in Spain. So this is where we're at. And again, it's very possible that this, in fact, is the place where, again, you know, these Rishonim that we talk about, that they were buried there. And there's no markings that you can identify exactly who is, but you know it's dated back to those times and where these great people have lived that period in Toledo. I just want to mention one more nekuda regarding Rabbeinu Yoyne, and that is just an interesting thing, that if we were to ask anyone, if someone behaves in a way that he deserves a title to be called a Soine Hashem, a hater of Hashem, how low or how badly does one have to behave? If we were asked, what does one have to do that he deserves to be labeled a Soine Hashem, someone who hates Hashem? Does he have to kill someone? Does he have to murder someone? How immorally does he have to behave? What does one have to do to deserve to be called a hater of Hashem, a Soine Hashem? And Rabbi Yonah says, as a matter of fact, he says in Shar Shuvah, Shar Gimel, that we're going to reach it very soon, but Akoplan Rabbi Yonah says, to be called a Soine Hashem does not mean that necessarily that you're doing all the bad things that you can think about. You can be a perfect Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, you can be a fully observant Jew, and still be called a Sein Hashem. Why? Because if someone does not respect other Talmid HaChachomim, because somehow you feel that they are taking away their covenant is basically making you look not that good. For example, let's say someone is learning in a koilu, and there's somebody else who's learning in a koilu. He is not happy that somebody else is learning. He would like to be the only one. So the very fact that he's sort of jealous about others who are doing mitzvahs and are making contributions for the sake of the honor of Hashem, that's called a hater of Hashem. Even though you yourself are doing everything fine, you're doing everything properly. But if you have that attitude, that you don't want others to do it as well, you want to be the one who's doing it. So Rabbi Yoni, that's called a Sein Hashem. I'll read you just a few lines what Rabbi Yoni writes in Shari Tshuvah, Shari Gimel Oiskov Samech. He says, V'inyin Sein Hashem nimtza lepomim gam banoshim shem oisim mitzvahs. It's a mind-boggling thing. A person who's fully an observant Jew and he can be called a Hashem hater. He hates Hashem. He says, V'nizorem b'chol averin. And people who are really careful from doing any averin. So he's a fully 100% observant Jew, he's a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, he's nizer from doing any avera b'maisa u'beloshim, whether in speech, whether in deed, he's perfectly observant. Im nafshom ro'o u'bekerav libom yikshalehem, if he has this negative attitude, kasher chavereim oiskim b'Torah, but he has this attitude, he's not happy that others are learning. Why? He wants to be the only one. He's also learning, so now people are going to, he doesn't stand out anymore as much. People are going to extend COVID. Others are sharing the glory with you. It bothers him that other people are also Oved Hashem. Says, this is a person that is a Seine Hashem. And Koshkin, certainly, he says, if he actually does something to prevent others from doing mitzvahs, because you want to be the only one, then certainly you'd be called a Seine Hashem. And then he says, finally, he says, "V'cheinu anoshim asher einam tzara b'kovet talmid chachomim meishorim." Someone who just feels badly when he sees that talmid chachomim get so much covet, and he would like to say, "How come I don't get all that covet?" The fact that it's not evaluate and appreciate that talmid chachomim deserve the covet that they are getting, that's also included in the title of being called a Sein Hashem. So it's very interesting definitions of how Rabbi Yoina puts it forth. And this is all worthwhile to remember. We were in the middle of Siftes, the Ro'o Mizois, if you can find it, if you can remember where we were. It's in the middle of Siftes, the Ro'o Mizois. Even worse than this. In other words, Rabbi Yoni still is talking about in the Seder of Tshuva, in this Sif, which is almost finished with this particular Sif, he's talking about that the first step in the order of Tshuva, said Rabbi Yoina, is charote, where a person has to have regret for doing an avera. And he pointed out the definition of charote, where a person should actually be talking to himself about how terrible the avera is, what it means to have left Hashem, to forsaken Hashem through the avera. In other words, it's not just in machshava, the person will be talking to himself. It should become really tangible, these ideas, what it means, in order to really express, to get the hargosh of charote. And Rabbi Yoina now continues and says further than that. He says, V'ro mizois. He says, and even worse than that, a person should think of all the things, the bad things, as a result of doing an avera, which brings charota, but even worse than the things that I mentioned above, he says, Ki ho yisi, he says, Al nefesh hayikora achzori. What a person should be thinking, now still now we're talking about the bad things, the bad consequences that a person's guf, that a person's body might suffer because of retribution and so on and so forth. Now he talks about the consequences, the negative consequences to one's neshama regarding the future world. This is all part of the total cheshbon of calculation when a person thinks about charota of an avera. That he says, v'ro mizois, worse than what I've caused damage to my body because Hashem is going to take it into account, he might punish me, take away my atzlocha, take away my success, and so on and so forth, and so on. But even worse than that is, I was al hanefesh hayikor achzori, I was cruel to my neshama. I was cruel to my neshama, as he points out, v'nitma'o b'gilule yitzri. My neshama became contaminated by the impurity of the Yetzirah. The fact that I succumbed to the Yetzirah, when in fact what I did, I caused damage to my neshama. So I cause damage to my neshama, that I cause cruel to my neshama thereby. And if that's the case, that I cause damage to my neshama because I contaminated my neshama, so uma hoyilo b'chol kinyoneo. So what do I gain even if I did a lot of mitzvahs? Even though I did a lot of mitzvahs, but being that my neshama is so stained, I'm not able to present myself in the future world in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm coming with stained clothing. I'm coming with a contaminated neshama. So all of the mitzvahs that I might have done, but yet if I have so many averis, and I'm not worried, I'm not concerned, and I leave it as is, and my neshama goes up to Shemaim in a stained fashion, so I did a lot of mitzvahs on the one hand, but at the same time I'm presenting myself with a stained neshama, with a neshama which needs to be purified, and in such a state, I'm not able. You cannot stand and present yourself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the idea, this should be the thought process that you go through a person's mind, what he did to his neshama. What did I accomplish with all of the kinyonim, and even spiritual kinyonim? What do I gain? He says, if my neshama is not presentable in the eyes of her master, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says to himself further, these are all the things that goes through his mind in order to achieve proper charotah. What goes through his mind is the eich echlafti. Again, this is dealing with the future world now. The consequences that his avera did to the future world, to olam haba. So he says, the eich echlafti be'olam choylef olam oymed lo'ad le'olam. How did I allow myself to exchange, to give up? He said, to give up an eternal world only to gain something on this world which is only transitory. This world is an olam choylef. This is a world that is only a temporary world. In order to achieve some gain, some benefit, in a world that is transitory, so I gave up eternal life, eternal bliss. And a person should say to himself, was it really worth to barter this? Was it worthy to give up the eternal world, olam haba, which is eternal, for an olam choylef? Instead of olam oymed lo'ad le'olam, a world that remains forever and ever. And more than that, a person continues, and he says to himself, this is all part of the thought process regarding charotah. He says, eich nimshalti kabehemois nidmesi. A person says to himself, that through the avera, I've lowered myself to the status of an animal. Eich nimshalti, I've compared myself through the avera, through my behavior. I'm no different than an animal. Maybe I'm a human animal, but an animal no less. I'm an animal. And I followed my Yetzer Hara, Kisus Kiferet, no different than a horse and a mule, Ein Hovim, who has no understanding, Vetoisi, and I've strayed Mederach Haskel from the road and from the way of intelligence. A person says to himself how lowly he has fallen due to doing the Averit. One can understand. Probably one of the biggest embarrassments that someone can embarrass another person by calling him, you're a behemoth. That's a big embarrassment if somebody calls you, he views you that way. So a person says to himself, imagine if somebody else calls me a behemoth, so I'm embarrassed. Imagine now that you yourself are doing things that you are causing yourself to be like a behemoth. Because he's shku and taivas olam hazeh. So amel olam hazeh, he himself is putting himself in that matzav, he's putting himself in that situation. If a person does not live his life appropriately, then he's talking no different. He's really no different, as the Pasuk says, by the way, in Tehillim. In Tehillim it says, he doesn't bring that Pasuk, but it says in Tehillim, but again, this is all part of the same idea. We know that Pasuk, Odom bikar v'lo yovin, nimshal kabheimus nidmu. Which the Pasuk means, Odom bikar, man is really so precious. The problem is, he destroys, he does not recognize. He is not makir, he's mylas. He does not realize that he's destroying his godless. So on the one hand, Odom biyikar, man is very valuable. He's yokar. He's very precious. But v'layovin, he doesn't understand it. He's not a maven on himself. It's like someone has a diamond. If he doesn't know what it is, he thinks it's a piece of glass. He's going to abuse it. He's not going to watch it. He's not going to be careful. Man is a jewel. Man is very precious. But he does not understand. He does not understand his godless, his true essence. And therefore, nimshal kabeimus nidmud. Being thereby, he behaves in such a way that nimshal kabeim is nidmu, he can compare him just like the animal world. He's part of the animal world, no different. And by the way, just the Gavad, the Gemara says, in Pais Vayikron, the Pasuk says, Menabokar Menatzoin. The Pasuk says, Menabahemo. It says, Takrivo is Korbanchem, right in the beginning of Pais Vayikron. So the Gemara darshins homiletically, the Gemara darshins the drasha misekhtes chum daf hey min abheima lahavi b'nei yodam shedoymin lebeheima. We clearly see that there's reference that min abheima means not just actual beheima, but b'nei yodam shedoymin lebeheima. And Rashi says over there because they are not mekayim the mitzvahs appropriately, and therefore they are reducing their status, their highly and lofty status, to be no different than a beheima. So this is something that a person should take to thought, to take to his mind, says the Shari Tshuva. Echdim shalti through my behavior, through my aveira. Echdim shalti ka behemah is nidmesi. I compared myself, I allowed myself to be compared to a behemah. And now he says further, this is really thought number five, because as we mentioned that there's really like seven different thoughts. There's like thought number five where he's up to. And he's saying, and furthermore, what should be the thought process? He's really giving you a lot to think about. And all of these things are part of the charota process. This is all part of the charota process that a person expresses regret in doing the avera. So he says, "V'hine ha'boire nofach be'api nishmas chayim." A person says to himself, and this is, by the way, the idea of giving a person to understand his greatness, godless Adam. Godless Adam is not because of his body. As far as his body is concerned, his body functions like the animal world. Does all the same things that any animal does in the animal world. In the animal world, you have different shapes, so he's also shaped differently. His body is shaped differently. But everything functions scientifically, basically everything functions the same. He has eyes and his nose and all of these senses and all the various things. Animals have it all. What the godless Adam is, not that he's an intelligent animal. That's not enough. Godless Adam is mitzad his neshama that he has, which is a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils. So man says to himself, being that I have these attributes, this attribute, V'hinei ha'boire nofach be'api, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into my nostrils, nishmas chayim, a living neshama. That's what gives me life. Chochmas lev, a heart of wisdom. V'toiv ha'seichel, I was given the gift of reason, all that together. And why did Hashem give me all that? Why did Hashem give man extra intelligence and give him this neshama? Why did Hashem give him all that? The purpose of that is to serve him, not to live like any animal in the animal world. You were given these extra gifts. Man were given, was endowed by these extra special gifts. Was in order to be able to use it, use the intelligence, use your understanding to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you notice how's the Seder. The Seder is like this. Lahakiroi uleyiro milfonov. These are the first two things. Lahakiroi meant first in order to recognize Hashem. And uleyiro milfonov and to fear Hashem. So what you see from here is, first comes lahakiroi. First comes the idea that a person has to be able to be makir Hashem. A person has to be able to recognize Hashem, and that will bring him liyira. It's impossible for a person to really fear Hashem if you don't know what Hashem is all about. If you don't recognize that there's a real creator in the world. So first you have to have lahakira. You have to recognize there's a creator. You have to recognize there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then liyira. So the Shari Tshuva says, a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you this neshama kedoshah. Which means that you actually, your makeup is a chelik of a Kodesh Baruch Hu within you. This nishmas chayim. And he gave you this extra intelligence, toivas ha-seichel. To utilize that seichel, to be able to recognize that there is something higher, that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu la-hakiroi, and as a result, will a yirim ul-fonav. Now, if you are makir Hashem, and you have yira from Hashem, that will lead to the third thing. Because that third thing is impossible without the first two prerequisites. What's the third thing? The avoidance of Adam is coming down in this world is that he is able to be dominant, that he has dominion, that man has dominion over his body, over the desires of his body, over the taiva of his guf. Man has dominion over his guf, the chol toldoisav, and all that stems from the guf. The guf is gashmi, it's ofram and adoma. Mitzad the guf, man is not no different. His desires are the same as anything else in the animal world. So what gives man the koyach to be dominant? What gives man the koyach to control those urges? What gives man the power to withstand, to withdraw, to be able to say no to himself? What gives man that koyach? The koyach, what gives man the koyach is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a neshama, which gives him the ability to recognize that there is a creator, which gives him the ability to fear Hashem. When a person becomes so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has this knowledge, has this hargosha, has this feeling experience, he lives and dwells in the atmosphere of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will give him the power that his neshama will be dominant over the guf. Not the body over the neshama, but the neshama will rule over the guf. Kasher him shila. Because we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man the dominion, we know, al shar balechayim she'ena medabrim. Man is king of the world. We say the lion is king of beasts, but man is king of the world. Man has been given the dominion over all creatures, non-speaking creatures. Man has been given, as it's furish in the Pasuk, it says, "Betzalmenu kid Musainu Umbrashis." Man was created in the form of Hashem and the image of Hashem. It says, "Viyirdu b'gasayom," that man rules over the oceans, over the seas, and the inhabitants. So man rules. That's why we are able to use animals for food. Why? Because man has been given dominion. Of course, you have to do it in a way that it's painless. The alazachim, there's all the various halachas how it's to be done. But man has been given dominion over the animal world. Why was man given dominion? Because his body, not because of his body. Why is your body better than the body of an animal? Why? Why? The animal's alive, you're alive. It's because of the neshama that man has. Because of the chelik of the neshama that haboirei nofach, again as he said before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils, in nishmas chayim. And this nishmas chayim combined with an intellect, so to be able to use his mind for spiritual things. He was given a neshama, let him understand what that neshama is all about. So he's given that special intellect, this gift of reason and so on and so forth, to be able to recognize Hashem, will he hear him the form of, and in fact, to fear Hashem, and thereby to be able to have dominion over your guf. Because the same way that you have dominion over the animal world, it's because of your neshama, that neshama that you have will allow you, your neshama, to have dominion over your own body. And therefore when you say to yourself, I can't, it's difficult, you think that you can't. But if you really put your mind to it and you commit yourself, it may take a while. But at the end of the day, you're going to be victorious because you have the ammunition within you. And you have to be able to tap into those resources, into those spiritual resources, the neshama, the chokhmah slave, and the toivas asechel, to be able to be moishel, to rule over your body, and all that stems from it. No, so he goes further. He says, Hashem gave man dominion over the animal world. And again, that is not because of the guf that man has. But the dominion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mankind over the animal world is because of the neshama. As he says, Ma'asher, he says, Yokro be'enov nechbodo. Hashem honors that which is precious, and that's the neshama. The neshama of man is precious. So Hashem, that's only what you have. The animals don't have that neshama. They have what's called a spirit. But the neshama, we're talking about the neshama, chelik elikai memal, chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew a chelik of himself into, that's only into man. Have that idea, that notion. So that man is the only one who has this connection of being, as we say, a chelik of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were. And therefore, Hashem gave him all of these powers, and man has to utilize it and to channel it in the right direction. So if all this is true, so now you say to yourself, so how come I've slipped so far away? Why is it that I've defaulted so much? So you say to yourself, being that Hashem created me for the purpose to serve Him and so on, and He gave me all the gifts, He gave me all the wherewithal to be able to serve Him, and yet it turns out that I'm doing just the opposite. So say to yourself, then it's not worth living, because it's not called living at all. It's called just existing. That is called living. You do not live up to the definition of life. This is not. The definition of life is when a person lives for the tafkid, for the mission, for the purpose that he's here for. If a person takes a trip, they're supposed to take a business trip. He's sent by the company in order to secure a particular account. And so he takes the plane tickets and he goes to the location. And he's supposed to engage. He's supposed to make communication. He's supposed to make contact in order to get the account. In the meantime, instead of doing that, he's sitting in restaurants and doing all other kind of things. He defaulted clearly on his mission. He was sent for one thing. He was paid, fare, room and board, tickets, hotel, lodging, everything. And yet, so he goes, he travels. He takes all of the benefits that the company gave him, plane tickets. They pay all of his expenses. But he's doing something else. He's spending his time. He's entertaining himself. And he's doing everything, nothing to benefit the company. A person comes down here, the company is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu paid your fare to come down here. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you your sustenance. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you your health. You're here on a mission. You know what? Your house is the hotel that Hashem provided for you. But now, you have to get the account. The account is to achieve success in the mission that you're here for. And yet you're spending your time here in this world doing something totally different. You have abused the trust of your employer who has sent you. You took his tickets, sleeping in the hotel, it's all on the boss, it's charged by, you know, he's paying for it, because Baruch is paying for everything, allowing you to live out your 120 years, whatever the time allotted for you is, and you're spending it on something totally different. So you're abusing your mission totally. Says the Shaar HaTshuva. So you say, Lom Alichayim, this is not called living. This is not called living. Kiyin Shenemar, as the Pesuk says in Mishlei. In Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech says, Odom Toye Mederech Haskel, a person basically who wanders away from his intelligent way, in other words, he's doing the wrong thing. Again, Odom Toye Mederech Haskel, if a person strays from the Derech HaSeichel, he does things that are connected the intelligent Seichel of a, what he's supposed to be doing, what are the consequences? Consequences are, Bikahal Refoyim Yonuach. He will rest in the congregation of the dead. What it means to say is, it's not called living. That's, you're keeping company, you think you're alive, it looks like it's alive, it'd be like something like you're blowing up, you know, a balloon full of air, and the balloon happens to be shaped in the shape of a person. So, guess what? Or you may electronically, you may connect something to it that it looks like it's breathing, or a mechanical machine. And so, it's breathing, it's pumping air in and out, but it's not. It's like an inanimate object. It's nothing. There's no real life in it. This is what the Pesuk is saying. If a person strays from the path of life, from the intellectual path of life, from doing the right thing, he might as well consider it like he's resting in the congregation of the dead. Refoyim means those that are dead, not alive. Refoyim means weakness in life, totally weak. Refoyim. That's the word refoyim. Rofa. Rofa, like I say, besofa rofa, to speak in soft tone, in soft. So the word refoyim means like not alive. And lom lichayim, you say to yourself. This should all really go and enter in the mind of a person again to be able to achieve charota on his past behavior. And then he goes further. He says, till now I've been somewhat generous, says Rabbeinu Yoin in Shaar HaTshuva. I said man should be saying to himself, after all, according to assessing my past behavior, I have lowered myself that I am being compared to Behemah did Mesi. That I basically have compared myself, I allowed myself to be compared to a Behemah. That was generous. Because the truth is, Rabbeinu Yoin goes further, you are lower than a Behemah. You know why? Because a Behemah does what she has to do. But you're not doing what you have to do. An animal is not abusing her existence. An animal by nature was created, and she's endowed with certain strength. An animal utilizes those strengths, what she's supposed to be doing. An animal is not chayte. An animal doesn't sin. An animal is doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing, what she was designed to be doing. But if I don't behave really in accordance to the gifts that I've been given, and to the mission that I've been sent for, that means that I am even lower, he says, than the animal world, says Rabbeinu Yoin. This is the next line. V'oid, even more than that, ki kemishpat ha-behema lo yosisi, I did not even follow in the order of the animal world. Avo shofalti mimeno, but rather I have allowed myself to be lower. Because we know, as a matter of fact, the Novi says, ki yoda shoyer koneu, we know that an ox, even an ox, an animal, knows his owner. So says the Pesuk. Ki yoda shoyer koneu, we know that the shore, the ox, this is in the Haftarah of Shabbos Nachamu. It says, Kiyoda shor koneu, that the shore knows his owner, and v'chamoyer evus bolov, and the donkey knows his master's trough. He knows that the food in his trough that he eats, his master puts it in. This is being said by the Novi. So this becomes a fact. This becomes a fact that the animal world, this is a posik, that every ox knows his master. I mean, you can see it probably, people have pets, they can see it even in their own experiences. But the Chazal say, Ki yoda shor koneu, v'chamor eivus bolov. By the way, you notice the change of the wording. The chamor, you see, is not as astute as the shor. The shor seems, he knows his master right off. He knows his master. The chamor only recognizes the one who feeds it. In other words, it's the food that makes the connection. Okay. So at least, but after that, he knows. At the end of the day, the chamor, ultimately, he knows who, where his food comes from. How come I don't know where my food comes from? How come I don't know who sustains me? Why am I worse? How is it possible that a shor knows his master? How is it possible the chamor knows the master who feeds, who puts food into that trough? Why should I not know who bestows all the goodness upon me? And if I don't, so I am lower than they are, says Yishar HaTshuva. V'ani lo yodati, and I don't know. I didn't allow myself to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo yizbananti, nor did I comprehend. Because you realize, because the Pasuk says, Tu l'shoynis, or ben yoynis, see, that's why he's writing Bekitzer, but he expects you that you know where he's tying in. Because the Pasuk says, Yisroel lo yoda, ami lo yizboinon. There's two l'shoynis. My people, Yisroel, first of all, lo yoda, they didn't know me. That's what the Navi says. The Navi rebukes them. The Navi says, Yisroel lo yoda, and then he says, ami lo yizboinon. Yizboinon means even deeper, to try to think and try to figure out. There's any of Yediyah, which is to know right away on the surface, and then there's an inyan of really delving in deeper. That's called his bainanis, deep understanding. I, the Baal Chayte, the person who sends the Rebbein Yonah, lo yodati v'lo yizbananti. In other words, it's lo yoda, it's lo yizbainim, nothing. I've distanced myself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not being interested in knowing, not being interested in comprehending. And as a result, you know what I did to my neshama? As a result, v'shilachti nafshi l'chofshi madineo. And therefore, basically what happened was, I allowed my neshama basically to be free of its master. I made it like Hefker. V'to'amti tzufi. And the man says to himself, the cause of my downfall was I tasted my honey. Tzufi means honey. V'noifes tzufim, from the Lashon. V'noifes tzufim. He says, and being, he says, I tasted my honey, that caused me to forget, he says, what my end is all about. And therefore, when Oshisi Soifi, I forgot, I thought I'm going to live forever. If man would take a moment and stop and think that one day all of this is going to come to an end, so he's going to realize that what, there's a lot of work to do. But I don't even think about my end. As far as I'm concerned, I think I may live forever. It's because why I'm tasting the honey of this world, the Olam Hazeh. V'to'amti tzufi, v'gozalti v'chomasti, and I robbed and I stole. Doesn't mean literally money. But it means he took from this world without purpose. Va'aldal boisasti, and I trampled on the poor. Bloizacharti, and therefore ultimately I did not remember Yom Hamovis, that there's going to come a time I'm going to have to leave this world. Ashloyashi lifdenishmosi bilti, nothing is going to be left anymore except giviyosi vadmosi, my body, my lifeless body, and my earth. That's all that's going to be left. If a person would take time to think of that, he would conduct his life differently. But all of this. So what we see from Rabbein Yoyne, that coming to the point that a person should even be aware of Yom HaMisa, you see there's a whole Hagdom, there's a whole introduction of a lot of things that a person should be thinking about. When a person thinks about the things that he mentioned prior to this, then you design your life. You basically map out your life and you design your life, you architect, you blueprint your life in a way that you're going to know there's a Yom HaMisa as well. And that will keep you in check and to hopefully do the right thing from now on. So Meli says, "V'hinyan azeh asher biyarnu." And therefore, this is what we are talking about. Hu asher diber Yirmiyahu v'asholem. Says this is really what Yirmiyahu Novi already lamented about that. And the Novi says, the problem is that ein ish nichom al ro'osoi. It's one thing to sin, but now do tshuva. So the Yetzer Hara got the best of you. The Yetzer Hara one was victorious over you. But now it's after the fact. But try to change it around now. Have charot at least. The problem is, ein ish nichom al rosa. Man does not regret leimor mo'osisi. So therefore, Rabbeinu Yoyneh, therefore, again, with all those words and all these phrases that he elaborated, see, the first order in the Seder Tshuva is charot. And again, as he pointed out, all the different thought processes that's supposed to go through his mind, this was Sifyut, all the things that go through mind. And by the way, Rabbeinu Yoyneh, again, when he started out, started in Siftes, he started to say, when you say charot, it's not just a thought process, but a preacher will be talking to himself. In other words, you should really take stock of these ideas and really speak it out to himself. It's like a person, you know, when he's handling with himself. And a person should really go through these things and say to himself, like he's saying, and say these things to himself, and thereby really taking total complete stock of what he is, where he was, where he's supposed to be going. So these things, hopefully, if a person really thinks through all of these ideas, the damages that he caused, both for his guf, the damages that the chet causes to his neshama, what's causing to his future world, what's causing to his olam hazeh, all of these things. It caused them, therefore, to be distanced from Hashem. He started out that he should have charata for the fact that Ozvay al Hashem, that not only all the side benefits that he may have lost, but the fact that he became distanced from Hashem, which is a major, major thing. One of the greatest things, what a person can lose, his closeness to Hashem. All these things should be thought through a person in the charata process. All this is the charata process. Now, when a person went through this exercise, and a person achieved some degree, at least, of charata, now comes the next one. Or Ikra Sheni. The Ikra Sheni says what the next Seder is. The Ikra Sheni is, what's the Ikra Sheni? Ikra Sheni says is Aziva Sachet. The next Chelik is Aziva Sachet, which means basically to forsake the Aveira. Aziva Sachet, leave the Aveira. Stop doing the Aveira. In other words, first he says you have to have charata for the Aveira, and then he says Aziva Sachet. Wouldn't it seem to be the opposite? Don't you think that you first stop sinning and then have charote? We'll explain that in a second. Ben Yoni says, first ikur is charote. Second ikur is azivas achet. Forsake the chet. Leave the chet. Leave the avera. Ki yazov drochav aroim. A person should abandon. Right? By the way, ki yazov drochav aroim, in other words, let's understand, it's not enough, Rabbi Yisai, it's not enough to leave, to stop doing the actual maisa avera. But you have to also leave the derech hachet. A person not always comes to do the avera pre as a hachone. There are certain areas that he was, or maybe he frequented certain places that led him to do the avera. In other words, had he not been in certain areas, he would not have done the avera. So besides doing the avera, there is what's called the derech that leads to the avera. When we talk about a person stopping from sinning, stopping doing the Aveira, it's not enough to stop doing the Aveira. Because if you don't stop, if you don't abandon the road that leads to the Aveira, you're just going to be back on the same road again. And you're going to be sinning. So he says, Ki yazov drochav haroyim. Ki yazov drochav haroyim means the roads, the drochim that lead to Aveira. These are bad roads. You should not be on those roads. You don't drive on those roads. These are spiritually dangerous roads. So it's not enough to refrain from the actual Aveira, but you have to refrain from the whole atmosphere, from the whole road that leads you to that Aveira. By the way, Avraham Avinu, it says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki yodativ, before the Mice of Sodom, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I felt a need to reveal to Avraham Avinu what I'm going to do in Sodom, to overturn Sodom. Why? Ki yodativ, Rashi says, yodativ means not I know him, but I love him. Ki yodativ, Loshen Chibur. Why do I love him? It says, Ki yodativ, Avraham Avinu, Lamana Shitzaves Bonaves Beisayachrov, and Avraham Avinu is going to transmit the tradition of Emunah and belief in Hashem and so on, and all of his values to the future generations. And what does it say further? Vishamru Derech Hashem. Lasoy Tzedakah Mishpat. It's not enough to do Tzedakah Mishpat. Vishamru Derech Hashem Lasoy Tzedakah Mishpat. You know, a lot of people give Tzedakah, but don't always ask them where they got the money. The derech of how they got the money to do tzedakah may not be appropriate. People might do a lot of tzedakah. People may do a lot of acts of chesed. But sometimes don't ask them the road. Where did they achieve the success to be able to do the tzedakah? So the derech leading to tzedakah may not be honorable. Avraham Avinu's maila was not only he did tzedakah, but vishamru derech Hashem lasay tzedakah. Avraham Avinu made sure also to keep that the derech Hashem that leads to do tzedakah was also honorable. That's the way to do tzedakah. That is the proper way to do tzedakah. And when you're doing tshuva on the past, you not only abandon the avera, but you also abandon, he says, drochav aroyim v'yigim rabacholavavoy kelo yosef, and you have to confirm in your heart, kelo yosef losho b'derech hazaoid, that you will not return anymore to that. V'im oven poel. And whatever iniquity he did, anything wrong that he did, lo yosef, I will not continue. Ki yichunema, the pasuk says, Yecheskel, shuvu shuvu medarcheichem aroyim. Make sure to return, turn away from your bad ways. Venemar, and another pasuk in Yishai, yazov rosh darkoi. That's called azivas achet. But as we say, not just azivas achet, but azivas haderach of the chet. So what Rabbeinu Yonah basically is saying over here, we're going to stop over here, but we're going to take a look at the sheet. And the sheet, we're going to see a synopsis of what's coming up. And then we'll see it later, next week in Magic Show, and we'll see the words itself. But I just want to just speak it out here and tell you like this. Rabbi Yoin is telling us there are two types of people. There's two categories of people who find themselves in a matzav, they find themselves in a situation where they have to do tshuva. And the Seder is different for these two categories. There are a Seder of people. There are people who basically are sinners. Yes, they are. They sin. They sin regularly. Being that they sin regularly, and all of a sudden, they come to a point where they want to do tshuva. They come to a point that they want to do tshuva. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that regarding those people who are basically sinners, those people basically who are sinners, and then you have a category of tzaddikim, people basically are righteous people, el-chidin, but nevertheless, as we said, there's no one who's a perfect tzaddik that never sins. There are people who sin occasionally. Both have to do tshuva. The occasional bal chayte, and the one who sins on a continuous, regular basis. But Rabbi Yonah basically telling us that there's a difference in the Seder of tshuva. He says there's a difference in the Seder of tshuva. He says a person who is a persistent sinner, when he wants to do tshuva, we don't ask him to do charut, have regret first. The first thing we have to say is, stop doing what you're doing. The regret, the hargosha, the feelings will come later. And there's a strong reason for that, as we'll explain soon. Again, this Seder, when Rabbi Yonah said him, first comes charote, first comes regret, as we went through all the different aspects of the regret, the thought process of regret. First comes charote, then comes azivas achet. He says that's for the person basically a tzaddik and sins occasionally. The tzaddik that sins occasionally does not need to make a kabbalah not to sin in the future. He's not a sinner. He's basically not a sinner. But sometimes he falls because the yetzer hara. We're just human beings, right? And we succumb to temptation. So he sins occasionally. So basically what he basically needs is charote. Charote needs to ask him to do kabbalah lahaba, to resolve for the future. He already has resolve. All his life is a resolve not to sin. That's his shit anyway. That's the road that he's on altogether. And yet he sinned. So what do you ask him? To make a commitment not to sin in the future? He has that already. He has that commitment. That's what he's all about. And yet he did sin. So in such a situation, first he works on having charot on the sin that he's done. And then, of course, that will allow him, the next time, aziv esachet, maybe not to succumb in the future. However, a person who was a persistent sinner, and now he wants to do tshuva, you don't ask him to do charota first. First you say, stop the behavior. And then, the more you stop the behavior, the more spiritual you come, you'll be able to feel regret. Regret is an emotion. How do you get a person to feel regret? How do you get also to feel regret if he's not spiritually connected? You become spiritually connected by abandoning tumah, by abandoning defilement. Becoming more spiritual. Become more spiritual and stop sinning. Once you stop sinning, aziv esachet, then he'll be able to feel charote. That will generate, and he'll be able to work on charote. So the Seder, the order, where the charote comes first, then comes aziv esachet, or aziv esachet first, then charote. So Rabbi Yonah, it depends, what category do you fit? What type of a sinner? Type 1 or type 2? This is the difference. Let's take a look here in the sheet a little bit. The first item. Okay, Rav Moshe Chavroini actually uses some of these words that we have here. Number one, the first item in the Sefer Masas Moshe with Rav Shiva of Chevron, Imam Yudalit. But basically, he's quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, but he uses his own words a little bit. And now let's take a look. Rabbeinu Yonah, if we take a look, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Oisik Pshara, Rabbeinu Yonah basically makes a compromise with Mechalek, and he makes a distinction. He says, Bein Choyte B'mikra, Lebein Choyte Tamid. Rabbeinu Yonah makes a distinction between someone who's a Choyte B'mikra, means occasional sinner. To someone who is a chayte, is a persistent, he's a perpetual chayte. There's a difference in the order of tshuva. The Habir Bidvarov, Hagoyin Rav Moshe Chavroini Zatzal, writes in the Sefer Masas Moshe, Ki tzadik, a tzadik, im nichshal pam b'chayt, shetokaf olav Yisroi, if a tzadik happened to be nichshal in an aveira, he succumbed to an aveira because the Yetzirah got the better of him. Lo yizgaber olav, he was not able to overpower the Yetzirah. Lo yoyeloi kabol olahaba. For him, it doesn't help to say, you know what, resolve not to sin in the future. Resolve? My whole life I'm resolving not to sin. I'm a tzaddik, basically. So what are you going to tell him? In his process of tshuva, you can tell him, resolve, make a commitment, make a kabbalah lahaba. I already have a kabbalah lahaba, and still I sinned. Because I didn't sin in philosophy, in hashkofa. I sinned because I slipped, because of my yetzer hara. So he says, lo yoyla, for such a person won't help kabbalah lahaba, to tell him, make a commitment for the future. He already made that commitment. He's living with that commitment 24 hours a day anyway, and still he sinned. Darei mekubel v'yoymedu. Is already mekubel v'yoymedu muchlet kol hazman. Loi laso is chayt. Ubechol zo is nechshon still he sinned. Why did he sin? Because simply because mipnei shel ahoy bekoichel is gabra al yitzroi. He did not have enough power, right, to be misgabra to win over his yitzroi hara. V'lachein, therefore, regarding a tzaddik who sins, an occasional sinner, for the tzaddik koidim tzorech charote. First, he needs charote k'dei litayr mezum asachet. The point is this. The charote will purify him because every time you sin, even a tzaddik, once you sin, you have injected spiritual poison. So your neshama now has become spiritual diseased. Of course, 2 averis, more spiritual diseased. 10 averis, much more. But even every avera brings along with it a spiritual disease. So if a tzaddik sins even once, but that once, you inject the poison. So first you have to, so as far as the tzaddik is concerned, he has to remove that spiritual poison. What is the removal? How do you remove the spiritual poison of the avera? That's the charota, the feelings of regret. The feelings of regret washes that neshama. That hargosha. That's why the tzaddik first has to get rid of the zuhama sachet. L'chein, therefore, he says, koidim tzor charota kedil l'tayim zuhama sachet. In order to purify himself, he says, from the tumah of the avera, the chol zman sheyesh bo zuhama sachet, because chol zman, as long as he still has the spiritual poison in him, olal hu'at t'lachta yosef. He says a tremendous thing. The truth is, a tzaddik, who's an occasional sinner, once he sinned, that avera already again injected spiritual poison. You know what that means? He is now more prone to sin a second time. In other words, every time you sin, the tzaddik becomes even more vulnerable. Why? Because you become more spiritually diseased. The more spiritual diseased you are, we have a klal avera gereres avera. One avera brings with it the next avera. Why? Why avera gereres? How does avera gereres avera work? There's a number of reasons for that. But one reason is because when you do the first avera, you already have lost your spiritual immunity. Because it's become diseased. Once you're diseased, the body cannot fight off. The next temptation, you already have less koyach. You become weaker. You become spiritually weakened. So therefore now the next avera is already easier. Now when the next avera comes, you're going to fall again. The third avera is even more easier. Because you're even weaker again. So what do you have to do? Remove the spiritual disease. That's charote. Simply to say kabbalah lahabo. In his mind, he always has kabbalah lahabo. He's always committed not to sin. And yet he sinned. He has to remove, he said, the zuhama sachet. He has to remove the spiritual taintedness. He said, because kol zman he had the zuhama sachet, he's all to sin even more than before. Da vera gereres avera. Sheitzahara now became stronger. Sheitzahara nasa ato yoyser chozok. Valkin, therefore, an occasional sinner, tzorach koidim charote, he needs regret. That's the first step. Letayr zah zuhama, to remove those impurities. Va'achikach lehoysev yira. And now, he will be Moisev Yerushimayim. He'll do more learning. He'll do learning more Musar. In other words, Vahainu. Again, what we're saying is, the Bitzadik. When we say a tzadik, the meaning of Kabbalah Lahabo by tzadik is has different meaning than by someone who is not a tzadik in sin. A tzadik always has Kabbalah Lahabo. So what's he going to commit for the future? He's committed. He's always committed. What it means is, after the Avera, Kabbalah Lahabo is to be Moisif, to work on himself more. That's what Kabbalah Lahabo means. To be Moisif in Yerushimayim. Lehoisif, he says, Yira Benafshoi. And maybe to put more barriers. Maybe in order to prevention. You don't allow yourself to fall into a situation where you know you have weaknesses. Don't go to those places. Don't read those kind of materials that you know have weaknesses. So by a tzaddik, it means Kabbalah Lahabo, commitment for the future, merely means is to add more, to add more prevention, to add more safeguards, to prevent them, not allow them to fall into the situation. They say the Maise, the Briskerov, Maise was told that they needed to hire a wagon driver, as was used to be called a balagula. So a number of wagon drivers came, they wanted the job. It was a study job. And if you had a study job as a balagula, it wasn't bad. So the wagon driver came and he was interviewed by the Briskerov. And the Briskerov asked him a few questions to see how talented he is in his job as a balagula. And he says, tell me, what happens, he says, when you're driving, he says, your horses and your wagon, and the wagon happens to go over a muddy road and the wheels get stuck in the mud. So what do you do? So the wagon driver says, well, first thing I do is that I have my whip, he says, and I whip my horses even stronger to make them pull more vigorously. and the Briskerov asked, and what happens if the wheels are so stuck that they can't pull it out, even with the whipping? So he says, well, then I get behind the wagon and I start pushing to help them along also. And what happens, says the Briskerov, if it's so stuck that that doesn't help either? So he says, well, then I'm going to turn to the right and turn to the left to see if there's anybody else to help me push the wagon out. And what happens if it's an isolated road and there's nobody there? He says, well, then I'm stuck. So the wagon driver says to the Briskerov, and Rebbe, what would you do? He says, I would drive my horses and make sure I don't get stuck in the first place. That is the message. That's the measure. That's what the tzaddik works on. The tzaddik's kabbalah, commitment for the future, is not simply to commit not to sin. He's committed all along, and yet he did sin. But he sinned because he fell into areas of weakness that maybe he wasn't careful about. So the commitment, kabbalah haba, is to be ma'isav gedarim, to be ma'isav safeguards, to be ma'isav upon himself, more yira, more yishumayim, and so on and so forth, to prevent it not even to come to sin. That is the way of a true tzaddik, how a tzaddik works. On the other hand, someone who is a perpetual sinner, and now he wants to do tshuva, you can't expect him to do charote, because charote, imagine, when you go into a mikveh, the emotional Rabbi Yoyner is going to use, and we'll see it more in the wording of Rabbi Yoyner, we'll see it next week, is when you go into a mikveh, somebody touches a sheretz, right? So it becomes tomei, but touching a sheretz, an unclean reptile, right? So it becomes tomei. So now you go to a mikveh to purify yourself. But imagine if somebody's a toivel the sheretz biyodoi, you're holding on to the sheretz, and you're toivel. The mikveh can't help you. Why? You're still connected to the source of tumah. You're still connected. You have to first drop the tumah. Says Rabbi Yoyner says, charote is the mikveh. It purifies, as we said, the spiritual poison. But if you didn't leave the aveira yet, it's like toivel the sheretz biyodoi. So therefore, he said, the perpetual sinner first has to do azivas achet, that's throwing the sheretz away. Then can come the charote, can come the purification process. Then you can have the mikveh. They should also be zeichet to tshuva. So these are the two steps of tshuva. These are the two drachim of tshuva, the two separate categories. Each one has its prescribed way. And this Rabbi Yonah teaches us, and we should be zeichet, that we should be able to do tshuva appropriately and to have the proper siyata d'shmaya.